Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce got engaged yesterday, and I immediately thought of my next guest, who works right across the hall from me. She's Shauna Foster from Z99, a huge Swiftie, joining me now to talk about what a big deal this is for Swifties just like her. And Shauna, did you see this engagement coming, or were you still waiting for Taylor to get around to writing about a breakup with Travis instead?
I saw this coming a mile away. This was her perfect love story. This was what she's been writing about for 20 years. The uncool, not cheerleader, falling in love with the cool kid in the class, the high school varsity football player. This played out in every music video, in every song. So this was what she's been writing about, and it just came to be in her real life. It's like she manifested it because she's Taylor Swift, and every single aspect of her life is so carefully planned and orchestrated. This was just the icing on the cake. I knew this was happening.
I appreciate your enthusiasm, too. What happens next now? Do you think this is going to be a huge wedding that will go public, or will it be private and we'll find out after the fact? How do you see Taylor doing this?
Oh, it's so hard to know because she's so carefully planned. There's a million bets, as you can imagine. Where will the wedding take place? Will it be this quick thing that none of us even get to experience? Will there be a bachelorette party? Will there be a stag for Travis? Who's going to be in the wedding party? These are all things that are Vegas bets right now, by the way. I think it'll be a bigger spectacle because it is Taylor Swift, because it is Travis Kelce, and the fact that they have so many celebrity friends. I think it would be hard to pull off something really, really small and undercover. I think it's going to be big.
I wanted to ask you about the ring, too, because it's quite vintage. And as you know, she loves to shop vintage. She told us that in 2009 on the Oprah show when she came through to Country Thunder and stopped in Lumsden.
On the road, I go antique shopping all the time. I bought a lot of furniture in, like, Saskatchewan, Canada.
The ring, it's got to be, what, $4 or $5 million? It's huge.
It is massive, and it actually wasn't. $550,000. This is a massive ring, and it looks so impressive, but it's a true vintage piece. We're not sure where Travis got it, but this is something that is very Taylor. She doesn't always go for the most expensive thing. This isn't like a Kim Kardashian situation. Taylor goes for what Taylor likes best. Even the dress that she was wearing in those proposal photos, not crazy expensive, a few hundred dollars. It sold out in minutes. A Ralph Lauren dress, and it is gone. You cannot find it in this world.
How does it look on you? I'm sure you have it.
No, I was too busy. I was too busy yesterday. Many, many things to do when you are such a Swiftie like me.
Okay, quick. The wedding date, it's going to be significant. Swift fans know Taylor will pick a wedding date with meaning. So even if we think it's next year, 2026, 13, her favorite number, will be involved. I mean, 2026 is double 13. June 13th, I looked, is a Saturday, 6/13/26. I'm going to Vegas with that bet.
I am thinking you are more of a Swiftie than you even say, my friend.
Oh, yeah.
I love this. I know that there will be the numerology involved in this. I think that it will be within the year. I don't think this is going to be one of these crazy long engagements in Hollywood where they never wind up getting married. I think that there is a plan. I think that they know the wedding date. I do really strongly feel that a family plan is in place. I think that they want to have kids and start that family. I think we get through Super Bowl, get through the football season, and we're going to see a wedding probably after that. I think that they'll get through this season of football first.
Finally, if you had to pick one Taylor Swift song, Shauna, that sums up the engagement, you can't use Love Story.
I can't use Love Story. I am going to go with You Belong With Me.
I would have picked Wildest Dreams because I don't think any of her fans in their wildest dreams would have seen this relationship coming. I know I didn't, but
yes, that's Shauna a good Foster. Choice. I mean, really, any song fits, right?
Well, I appreciate you taking your time to join me on my show this morning. What a pleasure to have you on. And thanks, Shauna. And congratulations on the excitement of the engagement.
You don't even want to know the amount of friends that I had that texted me that yesterday as if it was me who got engaged.
Wake me up before you go.
Yeah, one of those hot days. Evan Bray and I were talking about how when we were kids running through the sprinkler to cool off on a 30-plus day or whipping into grandma's because she was yelling, all right, rebels are here, fudgicles are here, and by the handle, a metal shingle guy who texted me at 1-877-300-7275. He said, oh, yeah, rebels, fudgicles. Don't forget, too, the push-up ice cream. Looked like it was at a toilet paper roll with a stick. Yes. I don't know what they called those, but I remember those as well. Thanks for stirring in a memory there. I appreciate it. What are the other ways you stayed cool as a kid? What is it that you just had to have as a treat? Nowadays, my kids are pretty easy. Slurpee run, if I yell that on a hot day, they're gone. Ice cream, yeah, for supper in the evening, sure. I'll take that anytime on a hot day, but 1-877-300-7275. Hey, tomorrow, Mayor Chad Baczynski is in for his regular studio visit. He's also going to help me proclaim it Green Day. The city will get in on this. They're declaring it with us Green Day Friday. The mayor will make that official tomorrow, which our goal is to make anything that moves wear green on Friday. That could be your family, your pets, and we'd love to see your pictures. If you do that on a regular basis, maybe you're on the farm and you're in a tractor that's all painted up green and Ryder logoed, we'd love to have some photos, and we're going to share them all on our social media in the coming days. Friday, we paint the town green, getting ready for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers Sunday in the Labor Day Classic. It's a sellout. I've said this before, too. A lot of parents right now are extremely busy, and school hasn't even started till next week. It starts Tuesday, obviously. But how busy do you feel if you have kids right now that are into hockey with all the extracurricular activities? There are a ton of hockey camps on over the Cooperator Center. It's a beehive of activity right now as camps are on to get the kids find their hockey legs after having the summer off. The Regina Pats are back this very day. Training camp has opened up. And high school football is practicing right now. Yeah, players are in the fields practicing. That season actually opens before school starts on Friday. There's going to be high school football action starting at noon and through the evening, too. It's something new they're doing here with the high school football season. Trying to get more games in. Obviously, teams will take that and all the extra practice to make it a better season. So that's cool. It's already busy with extracurricular activities. We hit 31 degrees yesterday. Shout out to all the farmer friends who are taking advantage of the heat, too. Harvest has been slow to start in some areas, but it's started again. And it's gaining some ground around the province now, too. And some good news, too, about gas prices. Yesterday, we were talking about how they shot up to $1.47. Apparently, it was because of a refinery that is in the process of restarting. So it's going to take a couple of days to rebalance the available fuel supply. Blah, 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 blah. We're just having to pay for it. And they suggest it could drop a couple cents before Labor Day long weekend. I'll believe it when I see it. And some good news, too. An update we got coming up with Kevin Martell about that new school in Harbor Landing West, which already has about 400 students getting bussed out of the neighborhood over the past few years to go to school. And they updated us on the new school a bit behind the project, pushing it now to 2027. Well, we're into the final days of vacation for students. Back to school next Tuesday, and perhaps a little excitement mixed with worry in your household already, because some kids, of course, a bit of a knot in their stomach if they're going to school for the very first time, or they're just concerned about if their friends are in the same classroom or who their teacher is. Heck, sometimes even parents and teachers feel a little knot in their stomach. Back to school stress. It's real. And here to help us overcome it a bit, my next guest, a life coach for families and parents, Jennifer Dean from FamiliesMatterMost.com. Welcome back to the show, Jen.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
Is it important this week, like right now, to wake up the kids early and start getting back into regular routine?
Well, if you want to have less yelling next week, then yes. Then yes, get back into routine. This is an easy one to fix. When you think about how it can go if you don't. You're trying to drag the kids out of bed. You're running around the house yelling at them to get dressed, get their backpack. Let's avoid as much of that as possible and set our kids up for success ahead of time. Yeah, go to bed earlier, get up earlier, start getting the backpacks out, getting the school supplies ready and loaded. This will all help.
It's pretty common, that piece of advice. Let's face it, there's a lot of kids who are going to school for the first time next week, or maybe have changed schools. There's probably a little anxiety in the air right now. How can parents recognize if our kids are feeling anxious about going back?
Well, I think every kid feels a little bit anxious. It's a new thing. We would feel that if we had even a new position at our work. There'd be some anxiety. What if? Am I going to be good at this? What will it be like? Will I like it? All of these things are natural and normal. But I think where we blow it, Greg, is we tell our kids, oh, just don't think about it. You'll be fine. It's going to be fine. Ignore it. It's not a problem. When in actual fact, it is a big deal for them. This is their whole life. So what I recommend this week is perfect for it. Do something. I call it ceremony. Do something. Have a campfire. Have an ice cream sundae. Go out for a snack. Go for a bike ride. Have a picnic. Do something. But make it kind of a ceremony. This is the end of the summer event. And we're going to talk about what we're excited about for the fall and what we're nervous about for the fall. And that's an easier way to get kids to talk about things that might be scaring them a little bit. But I love to do both. We're going to see the good and we're going to see the bad. And then when you hear the bad, instead of saying, oh, that's nothing, don't worry about it, say, yeah, that would be hard. But guess what? In our family, we do hard things. We do hard things every day. So we're up for it.
Let's zone in a little more on some of the things to talk. What's the right thing to say? Because some of these kids are having trouble sleeping. Their stomach is aching. Maybe.
Oh, no.
What are the right things to kind of alleviate that stress that a parent should probably use that they could understand?
A technique that I teach families, it's called bridging. And it's this idea that we are going to think about what's going to happen after. So, you know, your child is like, I'm nervous. I don't want to be away from you, mom and dad. I don't want to go. I don't want to be alone. So what you can do is say, okay, well, let's get everything ready for when we see you again. When I pick you up at 3:30, we're going to have a joke of the day. That's an easy way. And your kids are going to be excited for it. And you can just look up some dad jokes, right? You can find a bunch of jokes. So the joke of the day is one way. You can give if your child is younger, give them a picture of the family to put in their pocket or in their backpack, and they can go and look at it whenever they want to. You can talk about, when I see you later today, we're going to have spaghetti for supper, or we're going to go for a bike ride later. It's called bridging, and it's just a way to give your child something to look forward to when I see you again. And that is surprisingly helpful. I realize they still have to get through the day, but if they can be thinking about, okay, when I see mom and dad next, we're going to go to the park, or we're going to walk the dog, or we're going to have spaghetti. That is a helpful tool.
Jennifer Dean, life coach for families and parents. Check out familiesmattermost.com. All right, there are those who are not yet completely done shopping for back to school. When it comes to clothing and backpacks and runners, economically, it's pretty challenging for a lot of parents out there. What are some of the ways you can hash out, say, a bargain or a deal with your kids when it comes to, well, I want that expensive backpack and I also want those expensive runners? How do you navigate that?
This is what I would do. The things that were most important for my kids, I'd be willing to negotiate on. Okay, I'm going to buy, you know, brand name runners, or I'm going to buy this backpack that you really love. But for some of the other things, you know what I would do is I would pick my kids up for lunch on the first day of school, and I would take them to the stores, because then everything is like 80% off. And I would say, there, you get whatever you need now. Might not get your favorite, but you can get as many pencil crayons as you want, because they're super cheap right now.
Jennifer Dean, life coach for families and parents. Some great advice. Thank you so much for checking in this morning, Jen.
Oh, have fun this fall, you guys. Lights
I was watching TV a little last night, and I came across that Bruce Willis update. He's been battling dementia the last 2 years, and ABC had this special called Emma and Bruce Willis, The Unexpected Journey. It's an inside look at the actor's health battle and how his family, led by his wife Hemming Willis, has rallied by his side. The two have been married 16 years, a blended family, two marriages, five daughters. And with Emma and Bruce, they had two daughters of their own. Now 49, Emma Willis has written this book. It's coming out next week. It shines the light on a little-known disease called frontotemporal dementia that ambushed her husband 3 years ago. And her book coming out next week, promising to become a lifeline for caregivers who might be reeling, just as she was when she first noticed Bruce slipping.
For someone who was very talkative and very engaged, he was just a little more quiet. And when the family would get together, he would kind of just melt a little bit.
Emma said Bruce seemed to be losing words, and even a childhood stutter returned, and he became a lot less engaged with the family.
Felt a little removed, very cold, not like Bruce, who is very warm and affectionate, to going the complete opposite of that was alarming and scary.
All of that led to the diagnosis, and Dr. Bruce Miller is a leading expert on frontotemporal dementia. He says it strikes early and that the mean age for getting it is 56.
Imagine a marriage that has been tight and beautiful, and suddenly the person that you're living with has no empathy or concern for you or your family. This is really the unknown disease. People weren't aware of it really until the 1990s. The research on this has really just begun.
You know, FTD can be diagnosed as bipolar, midlife crisis, depression, and, you know, and a lot of doctors don't know about FTD.
It was a brain scan that confirmed Bruce Willis had the black belt of dementias, as they call it. Savagely, it eats away at the front and sides of the brain, causing a person to start losing words, empathy, their personality, the act of speaking, even addictive tendencies show up out of nowhere. And she remembered being told there was no cure for the diagnosis.
And to leave there with nothing. With a diagnosis I couldn't pronounce, I didn't understand what it was. I was so panicked, and I just remember hearing it and just not hearing anything else.
As for Bruce's reaction about the diagnosis?
I don't think Bruce ever really connected the dots.
Doctor said that's common.
The patient is incredibly unaware of what is happening. I think the parts of the brain that allow us to suffer and self-reflect are lost very early in frontotemporal dementia.
That it's just an awful disease. As for how Bruce Willis is doing now, his wife suggests he's healthy.
Bruce is still very mobile. Bruce is in really great health overall. You know, it's just his brain that is failing him. The language is going. And, you know, we've learned to adapt and we get moments. It's his laugh, right? Like, he has such a hearty laugh. Sometimes you'll see that twinkle in his eye or that smirk. And, you know, I just get, like, transported. And it's just hard to see that. Because as quickly as those moments appear, then it goes. That's hard. But I'm grateful. I'm grateful that, you know, my husband is still very much here.
Bruce Willis's wife, Emma. I can relate to those moments that just disappear. I watched my mother dissolve into the fog of Alzheimer's as well. And although FTD is different, they're both progressive, degenerative. Both occur as we get older, although FTD can occur much earlier in life, sometimes even in the 40s. But whereas Alzheimer's affects memory, frontal temporal dementia is different because it hits the front part of the brain. When that happens, you tend to see behavioral changes, as I explained there, and even speech loss. Pretty devastating. Her book, by the way, The Unexpected Journey by Emma Heming Willis, a must read starting September 9th for caregivers. And if you missed that special, you can actually stream it on Disney Plus now.